The Rudy Valley Hour. Presenting Gertrude Lawrence, Douglas Montgomery, Willie Howard, Gabby Hartnett, Ezra Stone.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. This week, as the Messrs. Gilbert and Sullivan might put it, our catalog is long through every passion. In Heartbreak of True Love are illustrated by Gertrude Lawrence, in Shadow Play by Noel Rose, and Tragic, put forth by Ezra Stone, star of What a Life on Broadway, in a new sketch by the author of that hilarious hit. Broader buffoonery is supplied by Willie Howard, my old Scandal's teammate, who this time is in the form of alias Professor Pierre Ginsburg. And the long thoughts of a big league baseball manager are revealed by Gabby Hartnett, most popular of big league players, recently installed as boss of the Chicago Cubs. So to meet your humors changing, we tune our supple song. As for yours truly, a wandering minstrel I, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballads, songs, and snatches of dreamy lullabies, all of which are ingredients in
the Rudy Valley Hour. Act One, presented by the makers of Royal Desserts, Royal Gelatin, and Royal Puddings.
This is gay Paris, come on along with me. We're stepping out to see the Latin Quartier. Put on your roll beret, let's sing the Marseillaise, and put our wine away like Watier. He'll take a gal who ain't and paint her as a saint for just a quarter. She poses just for art. She does it from the heart. She does it a la carte. He taught her. That gal from Armentieres who's been around for years will show you souvenirs the soldiers bought her. She owes a lot of thanks to quite a lot of Yanks for what a lot of francs they brought her. Come on and dance. That's how they have their fling. That's how the Frenchmen swing the Latin quartier.
They're 50 million strong, and they can't all be wrong. Let's all hoo-la-la-la.
Races hotter than a firecracker at the moment, we decided to turn our attention to the national game and to Mr. Charles Leo Gabby Hartnett, newly appointed manager of the Chicago Cubs. Gabby is an impressive gentleman with the battleship build, typical of big-time backstops, a winning way, and a new, tough job. With the fans and the sports writers, he's probably the most popular ball player now playing ball. He is also one of the really great catchers of all time. Bresnahan, Kling, Myers, Gowdy, Killifer, Speet, Cochrane, and now
Hartnett catching!
So Someday we're going to introduce a ball player without playing Take Me Out of the Ball Game. And that will have the country gasping with surprise. Welcome, Gabby, to the local park. How do you like your new job?
I can't complain, Rudy.
As I understand it, that's the trouble with being a big league manager. Everybody else does the complaining.
I haven't any complaints so far.
May that blissful state long continue. What part of the country is your home territory, Gabby?
I was born in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
Another down east Yankee.
Down east, Rudy, but definitely not Yankee.
Oh-ho, Irish?
What do you think?
Irish.
Right.
Right. Where did you first play ball, Gabby?
For Dean Academy, up in Massachusetts. Then for the factory teams around Woonsocket. Then for the Worcester team in the Eastern League. And then from Chicago. That was 17 years ago. I've been playing for the Cubs ever since.
And now you're the boss.
So Mr. Wrigley tells me. Yes.
I've heard rumors that sometimes big league clubs have too many bosses.
You can take it from me, Rudy. Those rumors do not apply to the Chicago Cubs right now.
Good for you, Gabby. Do you intend to employ any special system of philosophy in running the club?
I don't know anything about systems or philosophy, Rudy. Especially philosophy. But I believe I do know how to handle men. As a player, I know what kind of manager the players like and respect. Take a guy like Joe McCarthy, for instance. It's a pleasure to work for a man like that. He was my boss once, and he's the kind of a boss I want to be.
How about discipline? Will you have many rules?
Only two. The boys have to be in bed by midnight and take a call not later than 9 a.m. We don't have much trouble, Rudy. I've got a pretty well-behaved bunch.
If the Cubs and Yankees win, you'll be up against your old boss, Joe McCarthy, in the series. Do you think the Cubs will win?
What do you think? Your guess is as good as mine, Rudy. Who do you pick?
Brooklyn, maybe.
What was that?
I said Brooklyn. They're still in the league, aren't they?
Sure they're in the league. I would be the one to say that they're not in the league, not me.
Bill Terry said that once.
That's what I mean. Look what Brooklyn did to Bill. If you think I'm going to crack wise about those nice Brooklyn boys, Rudy, you're crazy. They won yesterday, didn't they?
Didn't they, though? But kidding to one side, as Ring Lardner used to say, who do you think will win in the National League?
Brooklyn.
All right, we'll skip the predictions. But I'm betting on the Cubs. How about it?
Well, I'll tell you, Rudy. We only need two things. Better hitting and better pitching.
I thought your club was hitting okay.
Not in the clutches, Rudy. We've been getting plenty of base hits, but not at the right times.
You think Dizzy Dean will contribute some of that better pitching?
I honestly do, Rudy. The Diz was going great the last time out, and I think it'll be okay from now on.
Who would you say is the greatest pitcher you've ever caught, Gabby?
I would say Grover Cleveland Alexander. Old Alex pitched the first big league ball game I ever caught, and that was also the first big league ball game I ever saw.
That must have been quite a thrill.
It certainly was. Only one other game since has given me such a kick. That was the time I caught Carl Hubb in the All-Star game about 4 years ago. The year he struck out Ruth, Gehrig, Fox, Simmons, and Cronin, all in a row, the first time up. It was a pretty thing to watch from where I was standing.
From any place. By the way, how did you come to be known as Gabby?
Well, when I was a rookie, I was a pretty shy, quiet kid. I always remember what my father told me. Keep your eyes and your ears open, your mouth shut. So one day, a Chicago sports writer started calling me Gabby, just because I wouldn't talk.
I understand that you do a lot of talking behind the plate now.
Sure. I kid around a lot.
Well, here's something I and a lot of other people have probably wondered. When a catcher walks up to a pitcher and talks to him, what does he say?
Well, he usually say, come on, big boy, let's get this thing over with. I need a glass of sarsaparilla.
Another thing, that behind-the-plate chatter of yours. I never could get the words. Let's suppose the Cubs are ahead 3-2. The last half of the ninth, three men on base. The count is 3 balls, 2 strikes. The pitcher gets your signal and you say...
Well, I just stand right behind that plate, folks, and raise that big hand of mine up in the air and yelling at the top of my voice, hollering, come on, big boy, put that extra stuff on that one pitch, because the difference between this pitch may mean the difference between winning and losing this ball game. And believe me, that pitcher really throws that ball in there.
Ride tonight. See the old range riders there at your side tonight. They're fast company, so if you want to be, yes, a cowboy, then you've got to ride Tenderfoot Ride. You got to hit the trail in Oklahoma where the moon is pale and get to Texas with the mountain mail before you can be a cowboy. You got to rope and roar. You got to get your share of buffalo and win the money at the rodeo before you can be a cowboy. You got to tend your cattle the best you can. Hold your liquor like a man and ride. Tenderfoot ride tonight. See the old range riders there at your side tonight. They're fast company, so if you want to be a cowboy, then you've got to ride Tenderfoot Ride. You got to hit the trail in Oklahoma where the moon is pale and get to Texas with a morning mail before you can be a cowboy. You got to rope and throw. You got to get your share of buffalo and win the money at the rodeo before you can be a cowboy. Before you can be a cowboy. Before you can be a cowboy.
When it's sweltering in the kitchen and not much cooler anywhere else, there's one thing housewives do that...
Some weeks ago, our listeners were made acquainted with young Ezra Stone, leading member of the cast of the George Abbott comedy success, What a Life, in a scene from that play. The occasion was pleasant, so enjoyable in fact that we commissioned Clifford Goldsmith, author of What a Life, to write a new sketch based on the same characters, chief of which is Henry Aldrich, aged 17 and constantly in hot water. You will hear the result now with Leah Penman, Betty Field, and Clyde Fillmore supporting Mr. Stone. Ezra Stone in The Early Life of Henry Aldrich. The time, 7:30, any morning. The place, the Aldrich home, located in any American town. As our curtain rises, Henry, son of the house, is apparently on the wrong side of a door as he greets the day with an indeterminate song.
Cling to me, da 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 da.
Henry!
Da 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 da.
Henry Aldrich!
Yes, Father?
How much longer are you going to be in that bathroom?
I'm practically through now.
You don't say so. One would think that none of the other members of this family cared to wash.
What's that, Father?
Nothing. Just hurry up and get out of there.
Yes, Father. Oh, weenie, 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 bella, 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 bella.
Henry! Henry!
Yes, Father?
It's not Father, it's me.
Yeah? Well, get away.
Mother says to keep quiet. Aunt Harriet is trying to sleep.
I didn't even know Aunt Harriet was here.
Well, she is. She arrived in the night.
Well, well, well. Out of the nowhere into the here. Out of the nowhere into the here. Out of the here, where into the know.
Henry! You want Aunt Harriet to hear you?
I thought you said she was asleep.
Henry? Hand me my vanishing cream.
What do you want?
Hand me my vanishing cream. It's right there on the glass shelf.
There isn't any vanishing cream on the glass shelf. Evidently, it must have vanished. It isn't 8 o'clock yet. What will I be saying by 9?
I can tell you one thing you'll be saying if you don't hurry up and get out of there.
Dad, please make him give me my vanishing cream.
Here it is. My gosh.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Mother? Did I hear Henry Aldrich come out of that bathroom?
You did, but he went back in again. He just came out to see what month it was.
When he comes out, tell him I want to see him.
He may not come out. He may go right on from there and enter Princeton.
But supposing you ask him what he did with the cord of the electric toaster.
Henry? Mother wants to know what you did with the cord of the toaster.
Ask her to what toaster?
To the only toaster we have. He took the cord down in the basement for something last night.
What's that?
Henry, what did you do with the cord?
I didn't do anything with it. I can fix it, I think.
You think?
That's a pretty picture. We can't wash in our own bathroom, and we can't even have toast for breakfast. We might all just as well be living in Russia. Henry!
Now what, sweetheart?
Please hand me some of my facial tissues.
Sure, hand me this, hand me that. No wonder I can't get anything done. What do you think I do, work here?
If you ever do any work, it'll have to be in there. After all, if you want to take possession of that place, you've got to take some of the responsibilities that go with it.
Listen, I'll give you your facial whatchamacallits if you go get me my necktie.
So that's what you've been doing in there. You're dressing. Father, please get him out of there.
Just how would you go about it?
I don't know, but there must be some way.
You should talk. You wash everything you own in here 3 times a day. And if I want to wash no more than my right hand, the whole family jumps on me. Anybody think that anybody else entering this bathroom was committing a major offense? Ow!
Serves you right. What'd you do, get your left hand wet?
Is that so?
Here, look out. I want to speak to him.
Speak to me only with thine eyes.
Henry!
Yes, Father, did you want me?
What do you think I'm calling you for? Why, it is entirely aside from the issue. What did you do with the lawnmower when you finished with it yesterday?
I didn't do anything with it. I put it right back in the garage.
I see.
Yes, sir. Oh, your brain is working.
Henry Aldrich.
Yes, Father?
The next time I'm speaking to you, supposing you pay me the courtesy of listening.
I'm sorry, I thought you were finished.
Supposing you look out the bathroom window and see whether you see the same thing I just saw.
Out the bathroom window?
You're in the bathroom, aren't you?
Yes. Holy gee. Oh, I don't think I'm the one that left that out there.
No. Apparently the lawnmower got up in the middle of the night and went out there under its own power.
You don't think you could have left it out there, do you, Father?
I could have left it out there. And we just paid $2.50 to have that machine sharpened.
Did that guy charge $2.50 for the lousy job he did?
Perhaps you thought leaving it out in the rain would improve what he did.
Oh, I'll pay for it.
Out of what? If you've got any money coming, suppose that you pay me what you owe me.
Sure. That's a nice way to start the day. Go around reminding everybody of the debts they owe you, even before they're washed.
Well, if I remember correctly, your hands weren't any too clean when you asked to borrow that money from me.
Mary, is Henry still washing in there?
I don't know whether he's still washing or not, but he's certainly still in there.
I'm practically through now.
Henry.
Yes, Mother?
When you took that cord down to the basement last night, what did you do with it?
What do you mean, what did I do with it?
Whatever it was, he'll pay for it.
I want to know how the fuse to the electric icebox happens to be burned out.
Holy gee, is that what that flash was?
Aha, then you do know something about it.
Is this the only place where matters of importance can be discussed? After all, I am supposed to go downtown sometime this morning. When I arrive at the office, I would at least like to have my hair combed.
Would you like to have me shove your comb under the door, Dad?
Yes, please do. I can make my toilet out in the hallway.
Did he say he did want me to or he didn't want me to?
You wait, young man, until your father learns that the icebox was turned off all night.
Yeah?
His orange juice wasn't even lukewarm, and the cream for his coffee has soured.
You're the sour cream in my coffee.
Mary! Henry Aldrich, you come out of that bathroom and run over to the corner store and get your father some cream.
In the condition I'm in?
No matter what condition you're in, you come out of there. I've got to do something about this breakfast.
I'm coming. Here I am.
Oh, hello, Father. You back?
Of course I'm back. Have you finally finished?
Just the old homesteader. I bet he's grown 2 inches since he went in there.
Hurry up, Henry!
Could I have some money, Father?
What are you going to do? Charge me to go into that bathroom?
Well, I've got to have enough money to get a bottle of cream.
What for?
Something happened to the icebox last night.
But you haven't any idea what the trouble was.
I guess it was my fault, Father.
And why shouldn't you pay for the cream out of your own money?
Well, I guess I should. Could you pay me that 75 cents you owe me for carrying out the ashes last winter?
Here. Take this dollar bill and bring back the change. Who went into that bathroom then?
That was Mary.
I won't be but a minute, Father.
Can you imagine that? No respect at all.
Henry, you left your Roman history book in here.
Well, don't lose my place.
And another thing, Henry. I hope that one of these days you will assume a few responsibilities. After all, when you take the cord of the toaster downstairs, you're old enough to bring it back up when you're through with it.
I thought I did.
You thought you did. I suppose you thought the icebox would run with the fuse blown out. I suppose you thought that the lawnmower would...
Yes, Mother?
Do you know what you did last night?
What?
You put the cord to the toaster on the flat iron and then left it plugged in all night. No wonder the icebox fuse is blown out.
Yes, and I get the blame for it.
Haven't you started yet, Henry?
I'm just starting now.
Well, ask your father to take a look out the back window. I wonder whether he realizes he left the lawnmower out all night.
When did I leave the lawnmower out all night?
Well, when do you think? I saw you go around to the garage myself and get it out right after dinner.
I'd be blamed if I didn't.
Could I keep the change to this dollar, Father?
Henry!
Now what?
Where'd you put the soap?
I didn't put it any place. There wasn't any soap.
This coming week, try the delicious tropical flavors of Royal.
Ladies and gentlemen of the next half hour or so include Gertrude Lawrence, Douglas Montgomery, and Willie Howard, all members in good standing of
the Rudy Valley Hour, Act Two, brought to you by Fleischmann's Yeast, the tonic food that helps so many people over 40 ward off a slump in energy at middle age, that helps them feel more vigorous and energetic, young for their age.
more than 30,000 Canadian war veterans meet in Toronto tomorrow for a convention of the Canadian Corps, roughly the equivalent of our American Legion. In their honor, a musical salute by the gentlemen songsters, the Yankees, and myself. Our Royal Canadian Medley. Alouette, 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 je te plumerai la tête,
je te plumerai la tête, et la tête.
Oh, alouette,
gentille
alouette,
alouette,
je te plumerai, je te plumerai la bouche,
je te plumerai la bouche,
et la bouche,
et la bouche,
et le nez,
et le nez,
et la tête,
et la tête,
alouette,
alouette,
oh, alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai le bras,
je te plumerai le bras,
et le bras,
et le bras,
et la bouche,
et la bouche,
et le nez,
et le nez,
et la tête,
et la tête,
mal de tête,
mal de tête,
prémalade,
prémalade,
prémoutard,
prémoutard,
quel demande,
quel demande,
je suis le docteur, ils en alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai, alouette, gentille alouette, alouette, je te plumerai. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever, God save. And heaven bless the maple leaf. A word to the wise who, being wise, are always willing to become wiser. Constantly in the public pulse. As revealed by our recent dance date audiences, we can state with some degree of authority that your current musical whim seems to be a desire to hear first, Music Maestro Please, secondly, the Larry Clinton arrangement of Martha, and thirdly, a Tisket a Tasket. Here's an attempt to satisfy your whim of iron in regard to the last two tunes, Martha and a Tisket a Tasket. Looking more devastatingly attractive than ever by reason of a deep Bermuda tan, Miss Gertrude Lawrence, who pauses momentarily in our midst before opening Susan and God in San Francisco shortly. Her leading man tonight, Douglas Montgomery, of the movies and Broadway, also in town briefly between summer theater engagements. Miss Lawrence and Mr. Montgomery will be heard in Shadow Play by Noel Coward. They enter now. Venice. Occasion? A honeymoon. The honeymoon of Simon and Vicky Gayforth. Married now a total of 2 days. They have just finished dinner in their hotel suite above the Grand Canal. The scene is supplied with an abundance of appropriate moonlight.
Well, here we are. Venice.
Oh, Venice. Wedded to the sea, dear, with a ring like us.
Which one's the sea, darling, you or me?
Neither. My name's Victoria.
Victoria what?
Victoria Gayforth.
What a silly name.
I adore it.
That's because you're sentimental.
Oh, fiercely sentimental and over-romantic, too.
Dearest darling.
Well, the wedding went off beautifully, didn't it?
Mm. Brief, to the point, and not unduly musical.
Oh, didn't Mother look nice?
Not particularly.
Oh, Simon!
It was her hat, I think. It looked as though it were in a hurry and couldn't stay very long.
Oh, Simon, was that man who slapped you on the back your uncle?
Yes, dear, that was my uncle.
Oh, dear, I'm so sorry.
He ran away to sea, you know, when he was very young, and then, unfortunately, he ran back again.
Do you think those people we turned out of the railway carriage ever loved each other as much as we do?
Nobody ever loved each other as much as we do, with the possible exception of Romeo and Juliet.
I'll never forget that train yesterday. All those little houses flashing by. Simon, think of all the millions of people living in them. Eating and drinking, dressing and undressing, getting up and going to bed, having babies.
When I was a young bride, I never mentioned such things on my honeymoon.
Yes, well, things never stay the same.
It was considered immodest to do anything but weep gently and ask for a glass of water.
Yes, well, I'm a modern girl, darling. I can't wait to be in your arms.
Dear heart.
It's funny, isn't it, to be so frightfully in love that you feel as if you were going mad?
Ever so funny. What'll we do about it? Right now, I mean. Sit on the piazza? Or drift?
Oh, let's cut the piazza and order the gondola right away. I'm a big drifting girl.
Good.
Do you think our front gondolier's nicer than our back one?
Not altogether. He has better teeth, of course, but then he was about 50 years younger.
Well, let's come here again in 50 years' time.
All right.
We can arrange to be carried onto the train. It'll be quite simple.
It won't be a train, darling. It'll be a pointed silver bullet leaving Croydon at 4 and arriving here at 3:20.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
Well, we haven't quarreled yet.
Never mind.
We'll have a nice quarrel when we get back to London, won't we?
Mm. I shall sulk for a few days, anyhow. I'm the sulky type, you know.
Yes, I know. That's why I married you.
Oh, darling. I'm going to be terribly serious for a minute. Will you bear with me?
Of course.
There's something I want to say to you. I've been wanting to say it for quite a while.
Simon, don't. What is it? What is it?
I love you.
Oh, you mustn't make people cry on their honeymoons. It's not cricket.
Dear, everything's cricket if you only have faith.
Well, when did you know you loved me? The very first minute, I mean.
In the garden. During the dance. I saw you. And my heart stopped beating.
Oh, it was a most enchanted meeting.
Life changed its tune. The stars and moon came near to me.
Dreams that I dreamed like magic seemed to be clear to me. Dear to me.
False became true. My universe tumbled in two. The earth became heaven. But you were there.
Oh, that song. Simon, they played it.
In the ballroom. I was dancing. I saw you in the garden. I stopped dancing.
Oh, I didn't know I'd remembered the words.
You know, I think I can remember every word we said to each other the first time. Can you?
No, I don't think so. Well, let's try.
All right.
Well, look, my name's Victoria. Mm-hmm. Victoria Marden.
Mine's Simon Gayforth.
Oh, how'd you do?
Quite well, thank you.
I suppose you came down from London for the dance.
Yes, I'm staying with the Bursleys.
Well, what do you do?
I'm in a bank.
High up in a bank or just sitting in a little cage totting up things?
No, quite high up, really. It's a very good bank.
I'm so glad.
How lovely you
no,
are.
No, 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 no. That came later. You're skipping.
Sorry.
Oh, you're nice and thin. Your eyes are funny. You move easily. Oh, I'm afraid you're terribly attractive.
You never said that.
No, but I thought it. This garden's really lovely. Are you good at gardens?
No, but I'm persevering. I'm all right on the more straightforward blooms. You know, snapdragons, sweet William, cornflowers, and tobacco plant. And I can tell a wallflower a mile off.
You know that hedge over there is called Cupressus macrocarpa.
Do you swear it?
Mm-hmm. It grows terribly quickly, but they do say it gets a little bit thin underneath in about 20 years.
How beastly of them to say that. It's slander.
Did you know about valerian smelling of cats?
You're showing off again.
No, I'm not. It's true.
I can go one better than that. Lotuses smell of pineapple.
Oh, dear, everything smells of something else. It's dreadfully confusing.
Never mind, darling. I love you desperately. I knew it the first second I saw you.
No, no, no. You're skipping again.
I know, darling. Let's skip back to Venice.
Well, here we are, and now my name's Victoria Gayforth.
Darling. Darling, there is something I want to say to you.
Something serious?
Most desperately serious. It's this, darling. We're here together. Close as close. And it's the beginning. But we're going to be together for a long time. All our lives, probably. So we must be careful. I want to reassure you now about later on. About any tricks the future might play on us. I know I love you with all my heart, with every bit of me. It's easy now, because it's summer weather and there isn't a cloud in the sky and we're alone. But there'll be other people presently. We can't live our whole lives on this little island. Other people, they spoil true love. Well, not consciously, because they want to, but because they're themselves. Out for all they can get. Mischievous. You do see what I mean, don't you?
Yes, you mean they might make us want them one day instead of each other.
Yes, but only a little. Not like this. Not all the way around.
But I can't imagine even that. I'm very single-tracked.
Oh, don't look sad. Don't even have a flicker of unhappiness. Not for ages yet, anyway. But whenever you do, if I'm bad or foolish or unkind or even untrue, just remember this. Because this is what really matters. This lovely understanding of each other. Jumping off place for many future journeys. But however long the journey, one's got to come back sometime. And this is the White Cliffs of Dover. Hang on to the White Cliffs of Dover.
I'll try. It won't be difficult, Simon, if you're there.
I'm here, dear heart.
I see you and my heart stops beating. You are here.
It is a most enchanted meeting.
False becomes true. My universe tumbles in two. The earth becomes heaven. For you are here.
Exactly as promised earlier in the evening, a set of lullabies, some dreamy, some otherwise. Arranged by Ellie Jacobian, sung by yours truly, the Quintones, and the Gentlemen Songsters. For no very good reason, lullabies. Sleep away your sorrow.
tears and parting may make us forlorn, but with the dawn a new day is born. So I'll say good night, sweetheart, though I'm not beside you. Good night, sweetheart, still my love will guide you. Dreams enfold you, in them, dear, I'll hold you. Good night, sweetheart. Good night. Sweet and low, sweet and low, wind of the western sea, blow, blow, breathe and blow, wind of the western sea. Over the Everyone here this evening seems to have just arrived from some place or to be on the verge of going someplace. Willie Howard, for instance, leaves tonight for Australia by way of Vancouver and the South Seas. This is his farewell American appearance for many months. Here's Willie, disguised as that remarkable Frenchman, Professor Pierre Gainsbourg. Attention, classe, the professor enters. Vive la France!
Good evening, my dear pupils of the radio.
Good evening, Professor.
Ah, such a warm reception.
Hooray!
That's wonderful.
Hooray!
That's marvelous. That's Brooklyn. The subject of our French lesson tonight is Casse du Dieu du Comte Perdu le Fond, A du Que Perte sans Avion pour le Lieu. English translation, How to Win Friends by Speaking French. I have devoted over 20 years to the subject, 10 years for reading and research, 10 years for writing and revising, and 10 days for speeding and disorderly conduct. I also have interviewed hundreds of people to find out how they make friends. First, I would go up to a door and knock. Voila. Then a woman would open the door. Voila. And I would say, On casse yeux, madame, par de l'œil, que mon perdu devant vous. English translation, Madame, I am very easy to get along with. How about you? She would answer.
And stay away!
Voilà. So, if you have any difficulty making friends, and need help, then, on casse de la tombe de l'olon carrosselier. English translation, do like your dentist does. Are you a wallflower? You are? Have you got an undeveloped libido? You have? My, oh, man. Do you suffer from an overdeveloped Oedipus complex? You do? Then, English translation, quand ça je vais bien, pas bien, meaning, wow. If you're going to win friends by speaking French, you know, must know what to say. Let us suppose that you are crossing the street. A taxi cab suddenly comes along and plays tag with you. You do not bounce. But when you open your eyes, you find that your right arm and your right leg are missing. Remember, you want to win the friendship of the taxi driver. So you look up at him and smile. Smile. Then say, pardon, monsieur, de gros sans yeux, en carpe de le fond, père de Dieu. English translation, turn me over, please. I'm well done on one side. That will make the driver so friendly. The next time he will blow his horn first, then run over you. Now let us suppose that you are sitting at the beach and you see a very beautiful girl wearing a cute little one-piece handkerchief. You would like to know her better. Are you going to make friends with a girl? Are you going to wink at her? No, no. The lifeguard may come over and close your eye permanently. Are you going to whistle to her? No, 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 n'espère, no, no. It is not polite for a gentleman to whistle. Besides, you would have to go back to the dressing room for your teeth. Then how are you going to win her friendship? Very simple, my dear pupils. Very simple. Merely. Excuse me, I'm very short in this country. Merely go up to her and say, pardon, cœur de le, en cœur de le, bon canton, mon cavalier. English translation, pardon me, will you hold my cigar while I go in for a swim? This will make her feel so friendly, she will probably give you a present, not one cigar, but a nice box on the ear. If you wish to win a friend among society people, you must be able to speak in French about good books, old paintings, and fine music. Suppose you find yourself in a tête-à-tête. Tête-à-tête, my dear pupils, is French for a high-class bull session. The conversation at a tête-à-tête is very intellectual. One of the guests looks at you and says, who do you think has the higher range, Bontanelli or Martinelli? Immediately you answer, Concert de Bière. English translation, I do not know. I have never been in an Italian kitchen. Well, the other guests will know at once that you are a cultured person and that you got your education either from me or from a mail-order catalog. In my book called French, in 10 Easy Lessons or 5 Hard Ones, I go into the subject more thoroughly. I teach you how to discuss music by Beethoven, music from Rimsky-Korsakov, and music from Hunger. And that, my dear pupils, concludes tonight's lesson, How to Win Friends by Speaking French. Before leaving you, there is just one thing I wish to say. That is, quand ça je dis, on perdit le calo, perdit le comme le dire. English translation, I am open for speeches at weddings, clam bakes, debutante parties, and bar mitzvahs. I have my own tuxedo. I thank you.
Particularly to people over 40.
Chicago, Illinois, where the Valley Company will be at home at the Chicago Theater beginning tomorrow morning. We're flying through tonight. Headliners from Windy City will be Paul Lucas and Sheila Barrett. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.